of the chaos so familiar to us, it's easy to have the impression that it's Zacchaeus who took the initiative. It just so happened by chance, as it were, that Jesus was going through Jericho, and Zacchaeus jumped at the opportunity. But really, if we take this last sentence of the gospel seriously, that the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost, and we think about what we know of the Good Shepherd, who's always searching for his lost sheep, it was no accident that he was entering and passing through Jericho that day. He was on a mission. Whatever else he had in mind for that day, he had in mind to find one particular lost sheep, and his name was Zacchaeus. So really, it's Christ who took the initiative. It wasn't Zacchaeus. It was Christ who was out looking in the neighborhood, calling for his lost sheep. My sheep hear my voice. They follow me. So Zacchaeus heard that voice. He was responding to something. He wasn't initiating. I think this is the first thing to think about in our lives, because often in our world it seems that God's not initiating. He's not in the neighborhood. Where is he? He's invisible to us. But he is. That's not accidental. He is in the neighborhood. He is calling our name. And the second thing is, maybe he's calling us in a strange way. How did Zacchaeus know that Christ was there? Well, presumably because he just heard the big crowd. There was this ruckus, very much like last week. A blind man sitting along the side of the road begging, just trying to get a little bit of money to live on. And it's a crowd that alerts him to the fact that something unusual is happening. What's going on? Surely it was the same thing with Zacchaeus. He was just going about his normal tax collecting business. And there's a stir, a motion, something unusual indicated by this crowd. But like last week, the crowd, the indicator of Christ's presence, is kind of a two-edged sword. And last week, the very crowd that alerted the blind man to the presence of Jesus said, "Oh, quit crying out, be silent." And the crowd which alerts Zacchaeus to the presence of Christ is too tall, too big. Zacchaeus is too short. He can't see Jesus. They're in the way. The Holy Fathers tell us that we're to understand the crowd as those things in our lives, in the world, and that prevent us from seeing Christ. But paradoxically, they're the very same things that indicate that Christ is in the neighborhood, Christ is nearby, that he's calling our name. And they're the very same things that distract us from Christ. If we think about especially the epistles of St. Paul, St. Peter, St. James, we're told on several occasions that it's trials and tribulations in our life, that God reveals himself to us. He reveals us first to ourselves, so that we can offer ourselves to God. But the trials are the things that let us know that God's in the neighborhood. And yet it's the trials that distract us from pursuing Christ. Whether it's global, like now, we have some sort of worldwide pandemic. Whether it's lockdowns and all of the inconveniences and things that come with that. Whether it's the sort of personal tragedies that take place in our lives, in our families, among our loved ones and friends. Maybe it's just the inconvenience of being delayed or held up in some way. Someone's late for an appointment, and we find it as a trial, an irritation in our life. But it's those things that at once are to be, according to the epistles, the revelation that God is near. And also the very same things that distract us from seeing him. Somehow it's the trials that alert us that only God can make sense of this world. And that these things are used in our life for our transformation, for our salvation. It's his way of calling our name, tapping on our shoulder. And that they're also the things in which allow us to ignoring God. So the exhortation, of course, from the Holy Fathers is that we follow Zacchaeus, is that when we're alerted to God's presence, when we're reminded, and often in the form, not always, but often in the form of trials, that we respond. It might be that we're reading the Holy Scriptures, or we're listening to a podcast, or we're in the services and we hear the hymns of the church, and something kind of resonates with us. Well, that's not so much a negative thing, a trial, but it's still that critical moment in which we have to decide if we're going to respond to it, or if we're going to let other distractions and thoughts and passions sort of squelch it, push it out. So whatever the occasion, whatever the way in which it is that God alerts us to his presence, to and whichever way he calls our name, there'll be temptations to turn from that. But the calling, of course, is to follow Zacchaeus to respond to it by running away from the distractions, running away from the passions, the thoughts, the temptations. And it's often said by the fathers in this way, which I'm saying it, so just echoing them, running away. But if you really look at the text, I don't think that Zacchaeus was simply running away from the crowd. He was running to a place where he could see Jesus. He was running to Christ. Not directly to Christ, because that wasn't going to get him anywhere. The crowd was too big. So he was running to a place where he could see Christ. And it just so happened that the distractions, the crowd, fell away. The goal wasn't to run away from the crowd. He could have run away from the crowd in a lot of different directions. Jesus was going north. He could have run south. He'd have been way away from the crowd. So the goal for Zacchaeus was to find the place in which he could see the Christ. And that needs to be our focus, not simply to run away from the distractions and temptations and passions in our life, but when we hear that voice, whether it comes in the form of a still small voice or a trial, thundering trial, we have to run to the place where we can hear, see. It takes an effort. God will give us the strength to do it if we want, but it takes our will. He won't force himself on us. And so we follow Zacchaeus and running to that place. It might be our prayer corner. It might be just turning the computer or TV off and just sitting and looking outside in the backyard and just reflecting. Whatever it is, it's finding that place where we can focus our attention on that call. Put ourselves into a place where we can see Christ. And then what's happened is very interesting. The gospel text, Zacchaeus, you know, he's run away, he's climbed a sycamore tree, and Jesus is coming that way. He stops, and the text never says that Zacchaeus sees him. Of course he does, but the text never says that. The text instead says that Jesus sees Zacchaeus. He looks up and he sees him. And this is maybe the most profound thing about the whole text, the whole gospel text for today, is that we want to see Jesus, but the most profound thing that happens to us is that we're seen by him. This is an important theme in our understanding of salvation. We often say, quoting the scriptures, that eternal life is to know God. And the goal of the Christian life is to know God. But there are many places in Scripture where we're told that we need to be known by God. We have in St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, he says to them that they may know God, or rather be known by him. To the five foolish virgins who knock on the door after the door has been shut because they were late. They had to go out and buy some oil. They knock on the door and say, let us in, and the bridegroom says, I never knew you. There are several such texts in the gospel messages. So it's not enough, it's not complete for us to, as it were, put ourselves in a position where we see God or know God as if it were one-directional, unidirectional. It's profoundly relational and requires us to be known by God. And the way I think this happens is very simple. When God shines His light into us, we become aware of things that He knew about us but we didn't know about ourselves. When we put ourselves into a position to be in His presence, to run away from the crowd, climb the sycamore tree, we find ourselves in not simply seeing, but being seen. And that penetrating light shows us things about our life, and at that critical moment, we have the opportunity to run and hide or to offer them to Christ. See, it's not that God doesn't know everything about us. He does. He knows way more about us than we know about ourselves. But He doesn't know us unless we choose willingly to let Him. And so, in the Gospel of John, we have that the light, Christ is the light who comes into the world, not to judge the world, but to pour out His light on the world, and that those who don't believe are afraid of the light, and so they run to the darkness. They don't want to be exposed, Christ says in the Gospel of John. They don't want to know what God knows about them. We're that way often. We don't want to see ourselves as God sees us. But those who are willing to be seen by Christ, to live the life in that light, run to the light. Not because they're perfect, by no means at all. But because, as St. John tells us, that it will be seen that what is going on in their life is produced by God. That their lives are being produced, shaped, formed, structured by God. And that they want that. They want to let God's light shine in them. That was the case. He wanted to let God's light shine in them. He was a terrible sinner. But He wasn't going to run in the darkness and hide. And that response continues when He lets that light shine into Him, when He lets His eyes meet Christ's eyes and experiences that kind of penetrating, burning, purifying gaze of our Lord. Our Lord says more. Well, come down from the tree. I'm going to go to your house today. That would be quite a surprise. And so He responds again, and He responds and He has this dinner party for the Lord, for all of those who seem to come to these events, as if it's a sort of come one, come all kind of event in the gospel accounts of these dinners. It seems like all kinds of people end up being there. And in that context, He's even willing to respond to the criticism that our Lord receives for eating with sinners by standing up and saying He gives half what He has to the poor and to restore fourfold anybody He's cheated. This is really coming into the light and letting that light burn up those things in our life that God shows us. It's not running back into the darkness and hiding and pretending that that penetrating light doesn't have some claim on us. So this is how it is that we come to be known by God. We respond to what He shows us about ourselves by staying in that light, by continuing to follow Him, by offering up back to Him what He shows us about our life in very tangible, public ways, in the ways in which the church offers them the sacrament of confession, but maybe in practical and concrete ways too, just in our daily life with acts of mercy with other people, whatever it might be. So this is the gospel for today. Christ takes the initiative. He takes the initiative in ways that may seem paradoxical or difficult to us, a crowd that alerts us to His presence, but at the same time distracts us or clouds His presence from us. So we have to respond by difficult choices, by willful choices to go to those places in our life where we can be quiet and still, where we can see him. And in that context, he'll show us and reveal himself to us in such a way that we'll come to see ourselves differently and have this profound opportunity to offer ourselves back to him. This is what we were created for, to offer ourselves to the living God, that he will come and make his home in us, to knock on the door of our heart and to come in, if we open it, to eat with us, to share that banquet